You're listening to KYRS Local News.
KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
On 88.1 and 92.3 FM, and this is KYRS Local News. I'm Courtney Roderick.
And I'm Christian Adams.
And I'm Tom Topping. We have a great show for you today. I have a report on a very vocal progressive activist, always standing out on the streets. And Courtney has two reports, the first on a new Washington State LGBTQ commission, and another on a report from the Washington Healthcare Alliance. Then Christian has a report on funding recently awarded, funding that has been recently awarded in new shelters in Spokane. And of course, we have our interview with Ben Stuckert today, candidate for mayor.
First up, several progressive activists are trying to sway the hearts and minds of Spokane area residents. However, none is as visible and vocal as Jax, who spends a lot of his free time standing at intersections trying to get the word out. Earlier this week, Tom caught up with him at the intersection of Thurman and Appleway in Spokane Valley. Here's Tom with more on the story.
Eastbound onto Apple Way may recognize that tall man holding a sign. It may have been a sign about health care or Mueller or his report or lately about emoluments or impeachment, but the man is out here exercising his voice as best he can for the future of our country. The man goes only by Jax. He is known among local activists as the big crazy guy who confronts Trump supporters and right-wingers head-on.
So I've had two Nazis go by so far.
I saw his
tattoos on his arm, and he gave me the bird and said, you sir are a douchebag, and why don't you get alive, and that kind of thing. And yeah, the tattoos kind of show me he's probably a white supremacist. They clearly don't care about the Constitution.
He passionately spends his days off trying to get the message out to the public he believes is asleep at the wheel.
I don't find it enjoyable at all, and I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to do this.
But you feel that you have to.
I have to because somebody has to defend democracy from the delusional lunatic and educate people about what he's saying and doing and what he's tweeting. When he calls people who don't support him human scum, you know, that's how dictators talk. That's how tyrants talk.
As another motorist speaks up to counter his message, he gets right back at them.
Do you like Russia and China interfering in our elections? Of course you do. You've got no problem with that.
Like him or not, we all should be thankful someone is out there speaking up for democracy and speaking up for the Constitution. The only question is, will it be enough to save it? This is Tom Topping for KYRS Local News.
Washington State has a new LGBTQ commission that was first introduced back in August by Governor Jay Inslee. With the director of the commission recently announced at last, Washington local Manny Santiago is eager to help LGBTQ citizens know their rights and implement new goals to address the need for advocacy in government for these citizens as well as resources. Here is Courtney Roderick with more.
Latest in Washington State news, the state has a new LGBTQ commission. Manny Santiago, former director of Tacoma Rainbow Center, is now the executive director for the commission, according to a recent press release by the Olympian. One main objective for the commission will be to address the need for representation and advocacy for LGBTQ communities in state government. The commission was created by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Jay Inslee in April. The commission has 15 volunteer members appointed by the governor and four members from the legislature. Like other state commissions, Santiago's office will collect information to advise policymakers from the legislature to the governor. Santiago deems education as an important goal for both government and the LGBTQ community. quote, "There is a need to educate our community about what our rights are. Government and business needs to know those rights as well. The commission can remind agencies of the rights people have. You cannot discriminate against them because of their sexual orientation or gender identity," unquote. Santiago's goals for the commission are to complete an assessment of laws and other protections for LGBTQ workers and citizens in Washington, as well as compile a list of LGBTQ resources, such as helplines and support groups, throughout the state, and create a snapshot for the LGBTQ population to gauge the number of resources that are needed.
Washington Healthcare Alliance has recently organized research reports with the intention of finding resolutions in reducing waste in the healthcare system. Nationally, experts agree that about one quarter to one third of what we spend on healthcare in this country is waste. With a model intact, other medical groups are following suit to improve healthcare in Washington. Courtney Roger reports highlights from the latest press release.
In a recent press release by Washington Health Alliance, it was found that low-value services in Washington State's healthcare system decreased from 2014 through 2017, according to Washington Health Alliance's latest edition of its first Do No Harm report. Analyzing claim data for more than 4 million individuals and 9.5 million services for the 47 tests, treatments, and procedures known to be overused and identified by the National Choosing Wisely Program and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, the Alliance found that waste declined by 10% for the commercially insured and for the Medicaid insured. The decline was more than double that. Executive Director Nancy Lunto states, quote, "While we don't have a full explanation for this reduction in low-value care from 2014 through 2017, we can all agree that this is an encouraging trend that we hope indicates that here in Washington, we are starting to take action to reduce waste," unquote. Nationally, experts agree that about one quarter to one third of what we spend on healthcare in this country is waste. From the list of 47 tests and treatments examined from the reports, the Alliance identified a handful of services responsible for more than 90% of the waste. This includes opiates prescribed for acute low back pain in the first 4 weeks, annual cardiac screening for low-risk individuals, antibiotics prescribed for upper respiratory and ear infections, preoperative lab studies prior to low-risk surgery for low-risk individuals, and too frequent screenings for cervical and prostate cancer and vitamin D deficiency. Deputy Director Susie Dade states, quote, "This list gives us a great place to start to reduce waste. We all need to make overuse in healthcare at the core of honest discussions about healthcare value in our state. Clinical appropriateness needs to be a criterion for high quality. Delivering tests and treatments to patients who won't benefit from them is not good quality," unquote. The Alliance has thus far found several recommendations to reduce waste in Washington State, such as making overuse part of discussions about improving healthcare value, encouraging clinic leaders to incorporate low-value care reduction in their practices, helping patients decrease the low-value care they request, transitioning from paying for volume to paying for higher-value care, and requiring measuring wasteful care in contracts with doctors and clinics. Dade later states, quote, "This has to be a collaborative effort. No one can solve the problems in our healthcare system alone. Employers who pay for the majority of healthcare in this country, the health plans that administer it, doctors who provide the care, and even patients, they all have an important role to play in this discussion if we are going to make change," unquote.
All right.
The Spokane City Council has voted to provide extra funds to two shelters this week, along with approving the funds for the new temporary warming shelter on South Cannon Street. Here's Christian Adams, me, with the report.
The Spokane City Council has approved $250,000 to improve two shelters in Spokane. Most of it will be going to Truth Ministries located on East Sprague. They've been around for 17 years, but this is their first time partnering with the city. Quote, last year, when they needed to open the warming centers, we felt like, oh no, it didn't seem like they even knew who we were, said Truth Ministries director Marty McKinney. We're getting to know them, they're getting to know us, and we just kind of lost that for a few years, so there's some good things all the way around. Unquote. They will go from 56 to 100 beds for men. McKinney is looking forward to helping the homeless. Quote, this is just a little spot in your life. You can move forward, you can move beyond this. You can get out of this. It's hard, you know, and it can take a lot out of you. But when you see one make it out, after you've seen so many not, it's pretty cool, unquote. In related news, the city council has approved $75,000 for the new warming shelter on South Cannon. The city says the shelter is still 10 to 14 days from being operational. City spokeswoman Marlene Feist stated that the city is focusing more on full-on shelters as opposed to warming shelters this year. This is Christian Adams, KYRS Local News.
For those just tuning in, this is the KYRS Local News Recap Show. KYRS exists because of the support of the public. We thank you for giving a little back with sustaining monthly support to continue independent music, local interest, and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text GIVE KYRS to 44321 and rest assured that you helped keep KYRS alive and on the air. By the way, we are still collecting ideas from our listeners for Spokane Jumps project. If you know of a cool place, a forgotten but intriguing story about Spokane or the region, or a quirky bit of history, send it to us at news@kyrs.org for a chance to share it with listeners.
By most objective standards, Ben Stuckert has served the city of Spokane well after first being elected city council president 6 years ago. This year, he's running to be Spokane mayor, but when he first made that decision, he probably didn't expect such strong opposition in the form of hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent by outside interests to benefit his opponent. Today, to finalize our 2019 election coverage, we welcome Spokane City Council President and mayoral candidate Ben Stuckert. Ben, welcome to KYRS Local News.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Election day is Tuesday. Everybody needs to vote.
That's right. So, Ben, I just found out with some of the things I saw on Facebook that you're just really a hometown Spokane kid.
Yeah, I was born here in 1971. My parents both came to town to go to Gonzaga, and they got married on graduation day.
Well, listen, what was it like to grow up in Spokane? You know, what were the good old days like?
Well, I remember taking my bus down the bus downtown to go to J.J. Newberry's when that was downtown, and we went through a period, I think, in the 80s where you had the old school stores like J.J. Newberry's downtown, and then those kind of died out. And by the time I was in college at Gonzaga, by the time I graduated, downtown was pretty economically depressed because that was before River Park Square and before this end of Main Street here downtown was invested in. So it was an interesting time to grow up in Spokane.
Yeah, so, I mean, there must have been some other things that were fun things, good memories.
Oh, yeah, we got one of the best park systems in the United States here in Spokane. We lived in between Manitou Park and Comstock Park.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was growing up, and you could walk to the parks, and my brother and I could go biking, and we had an extra long street we lived on that people I grew up with and went kindergarten through all the way, graduated high school with, lived on our block. Yeah. So we had a great time growing
up. Well, that sounds great. Well, what about the culture in Spokane, the art, music, theater? Have you noticed how it's changed in your lifetime?
Oh, it's grown quite significantly. You didn't have much of anything that we have now. If you think about going to shows at Lucky You Lounge or going to the Fox or going to the Bing, most of those were movie theaters at the time. No, we've got a lot more going on. The amazing artists and literature culture with Sharma Shields and Jess Walters and other artists that are writing, and then you have these you know, Rick Gendron and Jacob Johns with their art and the Marmot Space over in Kendall Yards. You just have these amazing art scenes right now, and Terrain is one of the coolest organizations in the country as far as I'm concerned.
Well, listen, is there anything you could describe the feeling you get from being from Spokane?
I think Spokane's got a long-term problem where we're always been down on ourselves and
really
think of ourselves as like the stepbrother to the West Side. And right when you see things changing and getting for the better, I think we have a tendency sometimes, like especially in this election, to start really harping on ourselves and being down on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we've had record economic growth, record private investment. We reinvested in Riverfront Park. The new renovations are absolutely amazing.
It's great. I love it. Yeah.
Downtown is, factually speaking, more vibrant than it's ever been. And we've started investing in those neighborhoods that string off of downtown, like Sprague Avenue revitalization that I led.
Yeah.
North Monroe, we invested $8 million on that, and it's become... The sales tax numbers are great. We've had 13 new businesses open. But if you listen...
Well, I mean, we can get to that. I just want to get more on, you know, given your context of you've been here and you've seen it, you know, what, given the context, what is your best vision for the city of Spokane and the Spokane area, like 25 or 50 years into the future?
We should all our centers... So our city strategy is our centers and corridor strategy. And if you think about a successful center or corridor that's grown up over the last 15 years, that'd be Perry Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we should have Perry Street all over Spokane in every business center.
It's and a fun place, that's for sure.
But we need to have density in those areas because we have a housing crisis. And we have this is happening all over the West Coast with housing shortages and then rents skyrocket. And it's a simple supply problem. And we, you know... 19 years ago, we passed the Growth Management Act in the state of Washington, and that really stopped us from spreading out and sprawling. But our job as cities is to then densify and create that density. And density is good for all sorts of reasons. Walkable neighborhoods like Perry Street are great for the environment.
That kind of keys into my next question here, because as an observer, it appears you've been actually pretty friendly to realtors and developers. I mean, what might they... expect to get from a hand-picked candidate that's running against you that they couldn't get from you?
Well, my opponent on July 21st in the Spokesman Review clearly said she would subsidize developments outside the boundaries of the city of Spokane. Huh. So she wants to use our taxpayer dollars to build housing developments that aren't in the city. And, you know, there are going to be housing developments that happen outside the city, but they darn well shouldn't happen with our tax dollars. That's just, we should be investing in density and housing inside our city.
Ah, Christian?
Actually, Tom, that basically answered my question.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
I think you phrased it a little bit differently. Why don't you give it a go anyhow?
Yeah, it was basically a similar question, and you basically answered it. But I was going to ask, you know, your opponent has received a lot of outside donations, and I was going to ask if you thought there was any agenda there, but you basically answered it.
Well, and some of those donations are because people just don't like me, and they want a certain brand of politics in office, and... we're traditionally a timber and mining community. That's where our old money comes from. Some of the companies that have donated to the Good Government Alliance, which is putting out the really nasty ad on Brian and I, that they spent over $100,000 in TV on that ad. And those people, and I guess I'm going to put a finer point on it, they inherited all their wealth and think they run Spokane. And that's not our future. Our future isn't people that inherited their wealth and don't have our best interests in mind and just want to make more money. Our best interests in mind are building up our neighborhoods and investing in our neighborhoods and investing in our people because we're all part of the same community. And they don't want a progressive city council and a progressive mayor that are going to invest in the things that matter in Spokane.
Well said.
Wow. Well, earlier, Christian did a piece about the funding going to the warming centers this week. And we hear so much about the homeless, but it seems like the working poor are not mentioned that often. And they're working, and they can still only afford maybe a room to rent. In some cases, they're sleeping in their cars. What's the solution? What can be done to help them?
So those centers and corridors that I was talking about, we got 28 of them. And so it's a three-step process. Housing there's three different parts of housing. About 80% of your housing stock is market rate. So we need to build more apartments and density near those centers and corridors. We need to upzone those areas and change regulations so that there's, if you go up market, there's all these businesses on the first floor, and most of those buildings haven't been redeveloped into apartments. And so you need to make it regulatorily really easy to turn those into apartments and then densify about a block or two off of every center and corridor. So that's your 80% of market housing. 20% of our housing in Spokane should be, it should be a healthy economy, as about 20% of housing is subsidized. And we've continually lost federal and state dollars over time, and we're not putting any local dollars in. We should be putting local dollars into low-income housing so we build more units. And then the third part is renter protections. And what happens if somebody comes in Seattle, if you live in Seattle, and
I used to have the benefit of it in L.A. I had a little apartment, and they could only raise the rent like 3% a year.
Yeah, rent control is illegal in Washington State, unfortunately. But if somebody comes and buys your building and you're in Seattle and they're going to tear it down and build new apartments, taller building, they have a rental relocation program where you get, I think it's $5,000 to go get a new apartment. We don't have that in Spokane, and we actually set aside for...
But that's legal.
Yes, and for a pilot program, we set aside $300,000 2 years ago, but the mayor has refused to implement it.
Really?
So on January 1st, we'll have a pot of money that if people get kicked out of their apartments, they can get money so they can relocate to a different apartment.
What you're talking about is both ends of the spectrum, market rate and then subsidized. Is there no room for affordable housing in there somewhere?
Well, I think if you build the apartments near the centers and corridors, those market rate housing are affordable. But our problem lately is rents just keep rising on all those.
But the wages don't.
Right. No, and we have a lack of supply, so your rent is rising and your wages aren't.
I mean, people making $12 an hour, they should be able to have a place to live.
Yeah,
they
you
can
should
afford.
It's unconscionable that we have people that are working full time that can't afford an apartment.
So many people, that's what the wages are around here.
Well, and it's very difficult to get to a full time position too.
Right. Well, we'll let you work here, but 22 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to be available all day, every day.
Times. Yep.
And even when you do, it's like just being in that minimum rate. It's like it's still not enough at that point.
So is there? It seems like there's been kind of a logjam in City Hall with the council being somewhat moderate and the mayor being very conservative. What would you forecast for Spokane if you're elected?
Oh, I think we can deal with a lot of our equity issues that we have. I think our city employees are feeling pretty overwhelmed and ignored. We just did a survey at City Hall, and people that have been in the city government for over 10 years, 40% of them are dissatisfied with their working environment, which is crazy to me. We need to pay attention to our environment and have an Office of Environmental Sustainability immediately. And then we need to take this housing crisis head on.
Well, I mean, you never know who's going to get elected to the city council. You know, if it's going to be still an adversarial thing with two different sides, like it seems to be now between the council and the mayor, and hopefully it won't be that way. But I was just trying to get a sense of if you had any thought about that. And then also, I know you love Spokane, even if you aren't elected mayor. You know, what's going to happen if your opponent wins?
I'm going to finish up my term strong by January 1st, and then my term as council president ends, and then I'll take a couple months and figure out what I'm going to do.
Yeah, but I meant, what's it going to be like between the council and the mayor? If pretty much the same as it is now, a conservative mayor and
yeah, I'd see it being a problem. If you've been watching the news this week, the Lesser, Officer Lesser video came out where he's using the F-bomb and threatening to kill somebody. And they suppressed that video and kept it away from our police ombudsman.
Oh, who said that?
Have you seen this, the police video? You need to go on, Spokesman has it, KHQ has it. It was
the guy with the dog and all that?
Yeah, he sicked the dog on him. Oh, yeah, it was unacceptable behavior, and they tried to hide
that's
that.
Really bad. Well, Ben, we're getting short on time here, so why don't you make your pitch, whatever you want
My
to say.
My pitch is I've been in office for 7.5 years. I've run businesses before. I've run a nonprofit before. Grew up in Spokane, and even if I've done something over the last 7.5 years that you don't like, this is a really important election because it's how we're going to grow as a community. I'm sure I've done something you haven't liked, but I'm betting there's some things you have liked. And just for how we grow as a community, how we deal with people that are houseless on our streets. My opponent wants to put them in jail, force them into treatment, which we all know people are complicated beings and you can't force anybody to do anything.
Right.
And we need to attack our housing crisis head on. And I have the experience and management experience. She's never managed more than 12 people in her entire life. And I don't think you hire a CEO of a city with 2,000 people and $1 billion budget without experience.
Right.
Concerning.
Ben Stucker.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for coming to KYRS. I hope it was interesting for you.
I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
Okay, you too. You can now register and vote on Election Day if you do so in person at the County Elections Office located at 1033 West Gardner Avenue, just off Monroe. Be a voter.
You've been listening to KYRS Local News. Make sure to catch our daily morning broadcast at 8 a.m. and tune in next week for our recap of the week, Friday afternoons at 4:30. You can also listen online at kyrs.org or at kyrslocalnews.podbean.com. KYRS Local News receives support from Atticus Coffee and Gifts, 222 North Howard Street in downtown Spokane, near the carousel and just down the block from their other store, Boo Radley's. Thank you for listening. Join us next Friday for
Thanks,
KYRS
everybody.
Local News live at 4:30 p.m. and Tuesday through Friday for the KYRS Morning Local News at 7:58 a.m.
And I'm so glad you're back, Courtney.
Have a good weekend.
Bye, everybody.
You too.